So I wasn't born a priest. I had a life before this. Crazy as that sounds. Didn't come out of the womb with a little collar on. One of my works, the job that I did, I was a basketball camp coordinator. And I saw some kid who had gone to those same camps, had a logo, so it brought me back to those days. And we would ask the kids, little basketball camps, little shavers, right? Who the ball is twice as big as their head, right? And we would teach them, and we'd say, why'd you come to camp? And their answer was, to get better. So then you'd get like 300 kids, and you'd sit them down. Why'd you come to camp? To get better. Why'd you come to camp? To get better. Why'd you come to camp? To get better. And then they'd get in a layup line and like rocket the ball off the bottom of the rim and like bounce, you know, like keep coming to camp, okay? Because there's a lot of room for improvement. Why'd you come to Mass? Because I'm supposed to. Okay? Is it to get better? Why did you come to Mass, right? So first of all, let me just say, you came to Mass, which is an awesome thing. There's lots of people who aren't coming to Mass, including on this campus, right? But you chose. So the question then is, why? To get better? Well, I think we do get better when we come to Mass and we pray. We become better people. We become better friends. We become better neighbors in your hallways. We become better citizens. And down the road, for most of you, you'll become better moms and dads. You'll become better business leaders, right? All those things, all that's good. But that's not really why we come to Mass. We don't come to get better for ourselves. Otherwise, all this becomes then, brothers and sisters, is just a glorified self-improvement course. It's like a seminar. That's not why we come. So as we're in a new chapel, let's get back to the basics. Why do we do this? Brothers and sisters, we come to Mass to let the grace of the redemption penetrate and transform our hearts so that we are different. That the love that Jesus gave on the cross finds a home in me and then also flows through me so that the world is different. Because I am different and because you are different. That's why we come. That's a lot different, brothers and sisters, than just getting better. That's a lot different. Let me give you a great quote from a great book. And if you have not read this book, put it on your list. C.S. Lewis's great work, Mere Christianity. Raise your hand if you've read it. Oh, man, you guys got to get to do some work. Go grab a copy and start reading that book. Because it is one of the absolute classic works from a great man, great Anglican evangelist, really one of the best evangelists in the history of Christianity. All right, Mere Christianity. Listen to what C.S. Lewis has to say. For mere improvement, right, you just getting better, being a better person, being a little bit more patient, being a little bit more kind, being a little nicer, mere improvement. Mere improvement is not redemption. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It is not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, but like turning a horse into a winged creature. Of course, once it's got its wings, it will soar over fences, which could never have been jumped, and thus beat the natural horse at its own game. God wanted to change creatures into sons and daughters. That's why he became man. And then that great image, right? Think of a horse. Think of a horse that now has wings, Pegasus. And think how different that is. It's still a horse, but it is existing on a whole new level now. It has been transformed, not just improved, but transformed. Well, for you and for me, we come to Mass not just to be improved, but to be changed, to be transformed. It's a lot like this structure we're in now. So some of you haven't seen this until you walked in and you're like, wow, okay, it looks really good. I have watched this thing go through its various stages. In fact, I was in at the ground level, man. Last August, not this past August, but the August before, right, 13-some months ago, I was in here with a sledgehammer, banging down walls. It was fun, man. I loved it. And it was exciting to get that started, right? It's a little bit like getting excited if you're a winged horse versus a horse with no wings. Everybody wants that. But this plate went through a whole transformation. And it was a lot of work, man. And it does not look really anything like what the work that went into it is. I mean, behind these nice pilasters, there are giant sheer walls, concrete, that are holding these walls together so that we could rip the roof off. And if this structure could talk, that transformation from what it was to what it now is would be described in probably some painful terms. We ripped the roof off. There were jackhammers in here all the time, blasting away at the back walls there. They took a stairwell out. They took walls down and opened things up. There were new things that had to be built that are not what you see here, but are behind what you see here to hold this place up. And none of that was easy. So, brothers and sisters, this transformation to go from a horse with no wings to a winged creature, better yet, to us, to go from mere creatures to sons and daughters of God, that is not going to be easy. Last Sunday and this Sunday, we hear gospels about people being invited to go into the vineyard to work. Last Sunday, it was about people who were hired. This Sunday, Jesus ups the game. And he talks about sons who go into the vineyard to work. If you want to be a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father, you are invited, I am invited, we are invited to go to work, to be about the work of our Heavenly Father. Jesus was about the work of the Father. He didn't just sit back and say, ah, it's great to be the Son. It is so great to be the Son. I love being the Son. No one else is the Son. From all eternity, it's just me, the Son. It's not how God is, right? God's goodness is always diffusive of itself. It wants to give away what it is. So the Father shares himself with the Son. He begets the Son from all eternity. All of his love, all of his goodness is poured into the Son, who receives it all and who gives it back. And that dynamic is so powerful it actually creates another person called the Holy Spirit. And there we are with the Trinity. From all eternity, the Son is about the Father's will. And the Father wants to do work on this earth. And if you and I are going to become sons and daughters, then guess what? It's time to get to work. That's precisely how we are sons and daughters, because we are about the Father's will. Jesus says in John, he says, the Father is at work, and so I am at work. Guess what that work is? That work is sharing the love of God, the Father, with every single person. Absolutely every single person. It's the one thing that every person needs. And Jesus comes to share it with us, and then he commissions us. He sends us out to go give that love to other people in a joyful way, in a beautiful way, in the way that every one of you can contribute. Because there are so many gifts and talents in this room tonight. But we have to be willing to do the work. And that brings us to the heart of the gospel. We have two sons. One who says, I don't want that. Walks away. One who says, I'll do that. But then what happens next? To the son who says, I don't want that. I want to be about my will. I want to be about my stuff. Somehow, some way, he changes his mind and goes. And he goes into the vineyard and he gets to work. Thumbs up, right? God's all about reclamation projects. He's all about patience. He's all about paying more attention to how we finish than how we begin. Then there's the other son. But then he never did. Jesus asked a basic question, who did the Father's will? And everybody knows it's the Son who actually did the work. It's a contrary tale. Because Jesus then says, tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, are entering the kingdom before you. We can't sit back and just say, well, I went to Mass. Good for me. It's great being a son. It's great being a daughter. It's great being loved by God. No. You got to get to work. We have to get to work. I want to talk to you about a great worker in the kingdom. You guys know who this is? Great Saint Therese of Lisieux, also known as the right? Wonderful saint. If it wasn't Sunday, we'd be celebrating her feast day, October 1st, the feast day of Saint Therese. She is super powerful in her intercession. She is very much present. She died at 24. She was born in 1873, died in 1897. And yet she is so present and powerful to so many people to this day because she said, I will spend my eternity doing good on earth. I will spend my eternity doing good on earth. Basically, she said, I'll be about the work. I want to do the work. And so she did. And so she does. She understood herself to be absolutely loved by God the Father in a simple way, in a powerful way. And her whole response to that was, okay, I'm loved. I'm going to love you back. And don't think because her name is the little flower that she is this, you know, quiet little meek mouse in the corner. She said, I want to love you, Jesus, like nobody in the history of humanity has ever loved you or ever will love you. She had a huge heart. She had a huge heart for God. She wanted to love him with every fiber of her being. And so she did. And she became like Jesus. An absolute open conduit to the love of the Father and then passing that love on to others. What's awesome about her, she is the patron saint of missionaries, right? Because she actually wanted to go in the late 19th century to Vietnam. She was from France. She wanted to go to Vietnam and preach the gospel there. But her vocation was to be a Carmelite nun. And so she never left the convent. She never left the cloistered walls of the convent. She died of tuberculosis at 24. Never leaving the convent. And yet she wanted to go to the whole world and tell every heart about Jesus. Well, now here she is, canonized, a doctor of the church, actually. And she is the patron saint of missionaries. She was super simple. I talked to you about something huge earlier in this homily, about being changed from just being a creature to being a son or a daughter of the Father. That is a huge deal. Not small, not just kind of neat, huge. How was it accomplished in St. Teresa's life? How can it be accomplished in yours? She had absolute trust in God. She lived that trust in the everyday, ordinary things of life. She said, if I pick up one small tack for love of God, that makes a difference for all eternity. In fact, her spirituality was so simple it became known as the little way. The little way. How did she serve God? She washed pots and pans. How did she serve God? She swept up the refectory, the place where the nuns would eat. How did she serve God? She would iron things or knit sacred vestments that had been falling apart. Super simple. This whole thing about God's love is not rocket science. It's not O-chem. It's not genetics. Right? It's not P-chem. It's for darn sure not P-chem. It's really simple. It's a pure gift, and it comes to you and to me tonight. If we can be like Therese and receive that in a simple way, then the simple power of the gospel will change us. And we'll look a lot more like her, and we'll live a lot more like her. And in looking like her and living like her, we'll look and live a lot more like him. Really simple. That's why we're here. Why'd you come to Mass? To receive the grace you could never provide for yourself. To receive the love that changes every part of who you are. To receive the Lord who calls you to himself and then sends you out to change the world. That's a great set of reasons to be here tonight. Thank you.